I want to begin this Easter season with a short quiz. Three questions for each one of you. If you don't get them right, no Easter eggs at the end of Mass. So, first question, what were the words the angels said to the women as the angel appeared to the women? What were the very first words the angel said to the women? Be not afraid. Christ is risen, that's close. What were the words Jesus himself gave to the women when he appeared right after? Be not afraid. What is the command God repeats 365 times in the Bible? Be not afraid. This is a constant message, both of the scriptures and of the Eastern narratives. Be not afraid. Fear not. I'm alive. I rose from the dead. I conquer what no one thought could be conquered. So you should not be afraid for anything, says the Easter message. The truth is that many times we are afraid. We could have so many fears, like fear for the future, fear for not having enough money or finances, or losing health, losing someone you love, fear of not succeeding, and the list is almost infinite. And we also have what we call the relatives of fear, like the siblings of fear, like stress, preoccupation, feeling anxious, not being able to sleep. Even anger is also like a sibling of fear. So none of these things are pleasing to us. That's why the Easter message is good news, because Jesus wants us to live as he lives, without fear. He wants us to enter a new way of life, a fearless life, a bold way of living that comes from the resurrection. And the best example of this experience of moving from being kind of paralyzed by fear into a fearless existence is the Apostle Peter. Think of this. He was afraid. The Gospel of John says he was afraid, and so they locked the doors of the upper room. And actually, it was a decent fear, because he, his master, the one leading Christianity, Jesus, died. He was killed. Who was the second in command? Peter. So Peter thought, they're coming after me. And rightly so, they might have been after him. So he was afraid of dying. But also think of this, Peter was now in charge of leading the church. And when Jesus was alive, during those 3 years that Peter was with him, Peter made so many mistakes. So he might have been afraid also of leading the church. So I don't know what Peter preferred, either to die as a martyr or just leading the church with all his weaknesses. So that's how he started Easter. But if you pay attention to the first reading, the book of Acts, it's like what happened during Easter and what was the fruit of Easter in the heart of Peter. He's proclaiming the discourse after Pentecost. He's speaking before more than 3,000 people. Remember, Peter was basically a coward. He denied Jesus because of fear. Before 3-4 people in the trial of Jesus. But now he's speaking with boldness. He's speaking without fear. He's testifying that Jesus is alive. He is fearless. He entered the way of being of Christ, who is not worried, who is not in panic, who is living in a new and glorious life. And that's the gift Jesus wants to give to us during this Easter. Through his resurrection, he wants to gift us with a new type of life, a bold life, a fearless life, a life of peace, a life of joy, a life where you don't need to go to things or substances to kind of cope for the fear or the anxiety that is kind of wrestling inside your heart. So how to be like Peter? How to enter this fearless type of life? I'm going to highlight three ways the resurrection does this in your life. I could say 40, but I want to keep the homily in 1 hour. So the first one is that the fear, the resurrection, diminishes fear because it gives us through faith access to the intercession of Jesus. The resurrection through faith gives us access to the intercession of Jesus. Many times we live in what we could call practical atheism. You can say, yes, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God. But then in the day-to-day life, we live as if God did not exist. We make the decisions, we plan, we drive, we text, we watch the internet and whatever we do, as if God did not exist. Maybe we don't say that. I don't say, like, I don't believe in God. But maybe that's how then, in practice, we live. That's what we call practical atheism. And maybe Peter was afraid because he was thinking in that way. He was a practical atheist as well. But during Easter, Jesus begins to appear to him and to the disciples. During Easter, Jesus begins to manifest to Peter and to the church that he's alive. He is with them. They are not alone. Think of the first reading again. The reading says Peter is speaking about the resurrection and he says he rose from the dead. And I love this. He says, we ate and we drank with him after he rose from the dead. So basically Peter is saying, I had breakfast with the resurrected Jesus. I went to his funeral and then 10 days later we had breakfast. That's a very shocking thing, Peter is saying. So Peter started to realize that he didn't need to panic or stress or live in this practical atheist way of life, because the resurrected Jesus was helping him, was assisting him, was giving him a new wisdom, a new strength, a new power to face trials and persecution. And that's how Jesus wants to be with all of us during this Easter. He wants to manifest that he is alive, that he is interested in your life, that he is with you, that you don't need to go through life as you were alone. He wants to be more present in your life. And one way we can do this is through prayer. When we pray, we kind of touch the resurrected Jesus. We don't see him, but when we pray, the resurrection becomes more real in our lives. And more precisely, during this Easter, we believe that Jesus is interceding for us. Have you ever thought, what is Jesus doing? What did Jesus do after rising from the dead? What he has been doing for the last 2024 years? Did he go into retirement mode? Like, okay, I'm tired, like I deserve some break. He ascends into heaven, says the letter of Paul to the Romans, to intercede for us. Jesus is interceding right now for you and me. He's interceding for your family. He's speaking to the Father about you, about what matters the most. He's speaking to the Father about those who are suffering sickness or cancer or depression or are being tempted. Jesus is saying, I pray for him. I pray for her. I pray for them. The resurrected Jesus is interceding. So this Easter, one thing we can do is to have access to the intercession of Jesus through faith. When in need, says Paul in the letter to Hebrews, go with confidence to the throne of grace and God will give you help in the time of need. So that's the first thing Peter experienced. He started to pray and realize the resurrected Lord, his friend, was with him. So that somehow diminished the fear factor in his life. The second thing the resurrection does is it gives us a new hope. It gives us a new hope. Many times we have this pessimistic mentality. We think bad things are coming. We kind of live in a Good Friday mentality. We're in Good Friday and the cross is there and nothing else, nothing good is coming up. But Peter saw Good Friday and then he saw Easter Sunday. So the resurrection introduces this novelty that God can make of the cross a resurrection. He's an expert in transforming things that maybe there's no hope or not capacity to change into something new. He's an expert in transforming crosses into resurrection. So Peter begins to see this. He begins to see that in the future, maybe good things are coming. And that's why he writes in his letter, we have been reborn by the resurrection into a living hope. We have been born anew because of the resurrection into a living hope, a hope that is alive inside of you. Someone who experiences the resurrection has this way of thinking that is moving always from Good Friday, from Easter Sunday. This doesn't mean that God will eliminate all the crosses. That would be prosperity gospel. But it reveals that there's always like a seed of hope, a movement towards Easter Sunday in your life. I don't know you, but I tend to have worst case scenario mentality. Did you ever get a call from your boss and say, I need to talk to you? Your mind always goes to, oh, I'm in trouble. A couple of weeks ago, the bishop called me, and he's kind of my boss, and I says, okay, just left a message in my voice message. Ignacio, I want to talk to you. And I thought he finally found out who I am. No, I didn't think that, but I thought like, okay, I might be in trouble. What did I do wrong? But no, it was a question unrelated to me or whatever. Well, not to me, but to what I was doing. But we tend to go always to this kind of negative mentality. So the resurrection renews us in hope. It gives us a new sense of good things are coming in your life. And that's why you don't need to be so preoccupied, so worried. Moreover, the resurrection gives us not only like wishful thinking, this is not like new age, it gives you a new power. Think of the power and the life that is in the resurrected Jesus. Think of Jesus coming out of the tomb, glorious, truly alive. Think of what position did he have. I would think that he had like kind of the victory position, no? Jesus walking outside the tomb and in humility, but saying, I praise you, Father. This is your victory. That's how Jesus wants you to live. In his victory, that's how Jesus wants you to face the future with hope, with his power in you. That's what Paul says in the letter to the Ephesians. If you believe in him, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you. Beautiful promise. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you. You can be different. You can change during this Easter. You can expect good things to come because of the resurrection. And that diminishes fear. The last reason why Peter was bold and fearless is because the resurrection gives us access to the love and providence of the resurrected Lord. Peter started to realize that his resurrected friend will take care of him. He started to realize that God was in control and he had to trust in God's ways. He had to trust in God's plans. And he didn't need to panic or be so worried or so preoccupied for all the things he had to do. He basically had to continue the work of Christ on earth. I mean, if you feel stressed about things, think of that task for Peter. But he will not now panic as he will panic when he was facing the storm in the boat. during the public life of Jesus. He will now trust, because he was now believing in the love of his friend. That's why John says, perfect love expels all fears. If we would believe how much the resurrected Jesus cares for our lives, fear will go away. If love enters through the front door, fears go through the back door, running away. So let us pray for that grace during this Easter season. The grace of truly believing that God will provide for your life. The grace of believing that you are in his hands. The grace of believing that he cares for you, that you are safe, protected, that you don't need to worry so much for your future. The resurrection gives us access to this love and this providential care of Jesus. That's why Peter started to live with peace and in a fearless way, with boldness and tranquility of heart. And that's how you can also live throughout this Easter season. Padre Pio, this great saint of Italy, 1950s, he said basically something that summarizes this way of existence without fear. He said, pray, hope, and don't worry. This Easter season, pray, so you can have access to the intercession of Jesus and the resurrected presence of Jesus among us. Then hope. Trust that God has good things in store for you, that he will bless you. He's preparing your future already. And then, do not worry. He has your back. He wants to take care of you.